Let us perhaps sing one or two hymns, and then we'll see if Brother Frank still comes. I think yes. Then we'll read a word. Let us start with song 83. I'm astonished at the never understandable love. For this, we can be happy and thankful that he went for us. The songwriter says here, I'm astonished at the never understandable love. This grace makes me ashamed, which has done so much for me. Yes, really, when we think about where we were, what we were, and when we think about that he came, that he paid the price. Before we were here, before we walked on this earth, but one thing we can say, we were already in his mind, we were already in his eyes. He knew that we would come, he knew that we would confess him. Is this not wonderful? Yes, we can just praise the grace of God. The songwriter expresses, oh, this is wonderful that Jesus asks for me. He gave his life for me on the cross of Calvary. How wonderful. I can just tune in. And I think all of us, we can just tune in and say, yes, this is wonderful that he did this for us. Praise and thanks be unto his name. Now, let us sing perhaps song 93. Today is Good Friday. Let these thoughts of memory ascend up to him. On Calvary the Lord suffered. On Calvary the Lord suffered. The death on the cross. He bore my sins. I go to Calvary. There my Savior redeemed me through his precious blood. He shed his blood for me. He was mocked and scoffed at. Reconciling the whole world with himself, gave his blood for mankind. I go to Calvary. There my Savior redeemed me. His precious blood was shed for me. Before we pray, I would like to read a word of God, namely from Matthew 27. It's well known to all of us, but nevertheless, on this day, I would like to read this word from verse 27, Matthew 27 from verse 27. Here it says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. Did he deserve this? For what did they do this? For you and for me. Dear brothers and sisters, and perhaps it is so in life that to some believer in our days, he is not spared, perhaps to walk a similar way as our Lord walked it. Perhaps it is not so that we receive these strikes as he got them, but perhaps it's possible that we still get them because we are believers. Also, this is possible. Beloved, the enemy was very angry, but he endured everything for your and my sake. He walked this way. Then we read a bit on. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation, written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Dear brothers and sisters, in those days, these men of reputation had recognized that he was the Son of God. The hour comes when all have to confess that he is the true God, and before him every knee shall bow. Also the rebellious ones who reject today and who perhaps today laugh and even mocking the believers persecuting them, the hour comes, the moment comes where he will manifest himself and where heaven and earth shall flee from his wrath. This we know and this we believe. But his people, we as his elect, we want to walk on this narrow way which the Lord walked himself. He walked this narrow way before us, despised, spurned, rejected by all. Was it like this? Yes, brothers and sisters, the Bible says, everyone who lives godly shall suffer persecution. This is a fact. It's gonna come. Let us not marvel when the fire comes upon us. Everything must come. What they did on a green tree, what shall then be done on the dry? It must come. Let us not marvel. But in these last hours, in these last days, let us always look more and more up to him, calling upon him, for we know our redemption is drawing near. And we are so happy and so grateful that we have come here. And I believe with all my heart that also you have come with a hungry and with a longing heart. And my innermost prayer was it. Already days ago we prayed that God may bless us all when we come together here. May he bless us, beloved. We have heard so richly his word, and he left unto us so richly his word, and we have the grace that we have the sermons of our beloved brother Branham, that we may read them in our language. My question would be, who doesn't read the sermons? Answer yourself, I don't want to hear it. But it's important that we hear that what God has spoken in our days. For very soon the hour shall come where all will recognize. In those days the rocks were rent, the graves were opened, the veil was torn, they were frightened. But this is not all, beloved. The fear is still to come, the true fear. But then there's no salvation anymore. Now it's still grace. Now people can still come. But who wants to come? All are mocking and laughing. No one wants to believe in a life hereafter in Christ Jesus. But we believe, beloved, with all our hearts. And we want to endure till he comes. May he give us grace. Please forgive me when I spoke so long. Let us stand up. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for this hour of grace. We thank you for a precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you went. Where would we be today, Lord, if you didn't go for us? We would not be here today, Lord. This we know very well, but your grace it is, Lord, which we cannot understand, how you loved us. Before the foundation of the world, the Bible says, you have chosen us already. Lord, we worship you in our midst tonight. Our longing is, come mightily in our hearts and into our midst. Revive all who have come, from the youngest to the oldest, O God, and bless your people, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for the grace that we may be here again to hear his word. This evening, I will not preach, but just have a word observation with all of us. You most surely brought with you your Bibles, and then we will pray. We have read the word from Matthew 27, a word which speaks of the crucifixion, which shows our Lord on his way to Calvary, describing us precisely what he endured for your and for my sake. A crown of thorns was plaited. They put it upon his head. He was stripped of his clothes. A robe was put on him. A reed was put into his hand. And then they mocked him, saying, "Thou art the King of the Jews." With other words, "We have now crowned you. We have put a robe on you, giving you a reed in your hand so that you can rule. You are the King of the Jews. Start now your reign." Our Lord had to endure everything for your and for my sake. When the Lord God cursed the ground after the fall, he said, "Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth," as a sign that the Lord himself took this curse upon him and the consequences of this curse. It was in the plan of God that he who spoke out the words there, he took the curse upon himself. And as Paul lines out, he was made the curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree." He, the pure one, the holy one, the eternal blessed one, became the curse for us, so that we can be partakers of the blessings of God. In words, it cannot be described. There's no understanding who can grasp this. Only by faith we are able to receive it. And it's a grace and a gift from our God. Our Lord, as we read and heard, walked this way, the way of reproach, and he was obedient unto the death on the cross. His obedience contrasts with the disobedience of the first Adam. And as in Adam all die, so all in Christ are brought to life who believe on him. Everything is a wonderful gospel, a wonderful message for him whom God revealed it. Paul writes, "The word of the cross is foolishness to them who perish, but unto us it is the power of God." Because we believe, faith is of course the victory which has overcome the world. Every man who just thinks a little bit about it, what it costed our Lord to bring the redemption cannot bypass this divine love, but collapse and say, who am I? With what did I deserve this? That He, the Lord of glory, came down, receiving me, pulling me out, choosing me, pardoning me, giving me eternal life. Oh, the love of God, so full and free from ancient times and always new, as the song goes. We must once for all understand that the love of God was not in words, but it was manifested in the deed. For God so much loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that all who believe on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And when we then go one step further, then we see that this love of God, which was manifested in Christ Jesus in the redemption on the day of Pentecost by the Holy Spirit, it was poured out into the redeemed. This is the divine confirmation that we found grace in His sight. There's only one love of God, and this love was manifested on the cross in the redeemed, towards the redeemed. And then on the day of Pentecost, it was poured out into the hearts of the redeemed. There the life came back unto the blood-bought flock. And a couple of times we emphasized it, and in future we will still do it, that the blood, the Word, and the Spirit must work together. There are many in this time who specialize to the moving of the Spirit, but are bypassing what God's Word has promised. Others are saying, we are redeemed by the blood and don't care about the Spirit of God and about the Word of God in its entirety. But all true children of God will accept the threefold testimony of God and experience it, the Spirit, the Word, and the blood. And if we open ourselves, then God will accomplish His work in us. Here we were read how the Lord went, and even at the crucifixion, supernatural things took place. An earthquake took place. The rocks rent. The graves were opened. The veil in the temple was torn. Things are always happening there where God makes history. Always. Always where God makes history in the plan of salvation, where Bible prophecies are being fulfilled, there always something happens. And not just something, but that what God promised. And this is the greatest. In Psalms 69, one could read. In Psalms 22, in various places, one could read that here Bible prophecies were fulfilled. They cast lots upon my vesture. They gave me vinegar to drink. They pierced my hands and my feet. Everything was already written and was fulfilled now. As everything was fulfilled with the head, so on the body of Jesus Christ, everything has to be fulfilled. Nothing can remain unfulfilled of all what is written. Also the scribes, that's how we read, the chief Pharisees, they tuned in the mockery. To them, it was just fine that this man disappears now once for all. But it doesn't work like that. He was the Lord of glory. He didn't just come to preach a couple of years what would take place. He accomplished it. And what good would it have been if he would have started his reign then, if the people would have still died and he would have reigned with some? What kind of kingdom would that have been? Not a kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there will be no death, no sorrow, no sin, no sickness, nothing like this. The old will have been past. Everything will be new for all eternity. The kingdom of God is, of course, totally different than the natural kingdoms are. And the people judged about the divine things naturally, and they were thinking naturally. And here everything stops. About divine things, we must think divinely, and about natural things, we must think naturally. One has to keep these things clearly apart. Let us come quickly to the thought of this afternoon, and also from this morning. We were reading this morning from the prophet Jeremiah. This was a very special prophet, a prophet which was ordained for the nations. And it says here in chapter 1, verse 9, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, "Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Holy men spoke of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And all who were of God, they hearkened unto it. And beloved, we have just arrived in that time where we crossed over from the patchwork into perfection. And this many cannot understand. From the Pentecostal age, we came into the bright age. And perhaps we may not understand it. Probably for some it is incomprehensible that we are not all prophesying here, that not all are speaking in tongues, that not all are continuing to do as it was 20, 30, or 15, 10 years ago in the churches of the full gospel, but that we let God speak. And we have heard so many things in the course of the years which no man has checked, which were just received unseen. Nothing came out of it. One thing is certain. When God speaks to us through his word, then it doesn't have to be checked anymore. God's word is purified 7 times. That's how it is written. However, we would be grateful if the gifts would be operated in a biblical way. The Bible says, if somebody speaks in tongues, then he does not speak to the people, but to God. He speaks mysteries. When he then has spoken briefly with God, then the interpretation must come, namely the revelation of these mysteries which were spoken with God in the Spirit, the interpretation must be revealed. And if this is not the case, then the Holy Scripture says, Paul of course said it, I speak more in tongues as all of you, but in the meeting I rather would speak five words with my understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. He was a grown-up man in the faith, a father in Christ, who not only gave teaching, but who exactly knew why he had to give this teaching. With Brother Branham, it was the same. At first, everything went upside down, and they prophesied within 6 months, this building, this chapel, will be a garage. It really went beyond what you can imagine, until he had to say, listen, not like this. You muddle all things up here. If you have gifts, withdraw yourself. Let yourselves be blessed and used by God. And then the things must be checked, and only afterward it shall be presented to the church. Of course, we could do this, as others are also doing it, but to fool ourselves and others, I'm too good for that. And for that, you are too precious to me. You have deserved it, that you hear God's true word in purity, in truth, in clarity, in such a way as it is fine with God. And I think that in this clear way, he speaks to us. In the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 1, this we were reading this morning, verse 11 and 12, here it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I watch over my word to perform it. The prophet had the right vision. He saw that what God revives, where God let new life come in. The withered tree received new life. It was awakened, and already the word of the Lord came, and the Lord said, thou hast seen well, for I watch over my word to perform it. And we went one step further, and we said to one another, God watches over his word, and when his word is in you and in me, then God watches over you and over me to fulfill his word in you and in me. Right or not? God, of course, doesn't watch over the chairs on which we sit, but over us who we have received his word. Of Mary it says, blessed art thou who you believed, let it be done unto you according to your faith. God has given his word. He watches over his word, and he watches over them who bring his word, and he watches over them who believe the broad and revealed word. And this means God watches over you. God watches over me. God wants to fulfill his word in me and in you. God wants to confirm his word in all of us. This is the consequence with what we are dealing here. We are giving promises and we cannot fulfill them. God is highly exalted above all. He is able to do everything at the right time. We are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's revealed word is in our soul, and God watches over us and over His word to fulfill it at the right time. This is the thought which we may give room in our hearts, so that we come to a positive thinking, speaking, and acting, not being oppressed and tense on the inside, but open as a flower, or as the poet sings, as the flower unfolds in the sun. We are of course here so that new life comes into the divine branches. Our Lord says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. The sap comes from the root through the trunk, and then it comes into the branches, and on the branches is then the fruit, the life which has come forth. Doesn't remain in the trunk, it doesn't remain in the branches. It is manifested in the fruit and comes forth and is perfected. The life of Jesus Christ comes forth in the church, in the several members which make up His body. And our Lord said, ye shall go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit shall remain. Christ is of course the root of David. He's the root, He is the trunk, He's the offspring, and we are the offsprings, right or not? He is the head and we are the members. Did not Brother Branham, so many years ago, he preached the wonderful sermon about the restoration. He spoke of the tree of which Joel has written and prophesied, which was eaten up, and God said, I will restore unto you the years. I will give you everything back. I will let new life come into you. This is now the time, not just a bit blessing, jumping up and down, but life from God, which pulses in the several members of the body of Jesus Christ. He the head, and we His members. Let us read from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 44, a couple of verses, namely from verse 23. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing. Ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein, for the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. Then from verse 26, that confirmeth the word of His servant and performeth the counsel of His messengers. Then from chapter 45, from verse 2 and 3, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Then, verse 8, drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. In the first verse which I read, it says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing. And in the last verse, drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. In between, the words are written, the Lord confirmeth the word of his servants and performeth the counsel of his messengers. I cannot do otherwise but to think here on Revelation chapter 10. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared it to his servants, the prophets. God speaks through his servants, through his prophets, until this time. And the word which we heard was not an interpretation of a seminar. It was not a resolution of a synod. It was not a dogma which was proclaimed, but the quickening, the liberating, revealing word of God was preached unto us in this time. And the word of the Lord comes, of course, to the prophets. Some say it still today, that the prophets were until John, and from that time on, the kingdom of God was preached. Also, I have read this verse in Luke 16:16. Don't you worry about it. And we know that God never changes his plan. The Old Testament prophets were or prophesied until the forerunner, until John. But then in the New Testament it's again written, God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. If somebody reads the Bible in such a way that he finds a contradiction there, then he didn't read properly. The contradiction is in his heart or in his thought, but not in the Word of God. All prophets who foretold the plan of salvation prophesied until John, and from that time on, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. In other words, it was opened because John started his sermon, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the same also our Lord Jesus did. Since those days, the kingdom of God made its way, and all who are violent, they enter into it with power. Satan wants to hold us back, but God is here to give us his hand of grace, and with might we shall press into the kingdom of God. He the Lord lets go forth his word by the mouth of the prophets. He had people who heard and believed this prophetic word, and God watched over his word and over his people to fulfill this word. This we see until our days. Has not God promised to gather the people of Israel from all nations in which he scattered them at the end of days? Did not God say already at the giving of the law by Moses, where is it? Deuteronomy 4, probably verse 27, that they would be scattered into all the world and that they will be gathered again. Just imagine this long period of time. God watches over his word and over his people, on which his word shall be fulfilled. And therefore we also may believe with all our hearts. If we see it outwardly on the people of Israel, then it should encourage us to believe with all our hearts that on the church, he, even with more certainty, he will also fulfill it, just as he did it on the people of Israel, or with the same certainty. With God, there's no difference. But we have trouble with our faith. When we tonight really believe with all our hearts every word of God, then God would be obligated to fulfill every word which we believe in our lives. The word of God cannot return void. It must and will accomplish for what God has sent it for. Not tomorrow, tonight, at this place, God has gathered his people. Here he speaks with us. We receive his word, and God watches over his word to confirm it in your and in my heart. All of us, we are waiting for the confirmation of the word of God. And when it is written in Matthew 25 that the foolish virgins one day will come to the wise virgins and say, give us of your oil. It doesn't say, give us now some kind of oil. Give us of your oil. There must come a point of time in which the difference will be manifest between the true believers and between them who are just anointed, but who have not received the word of promise in them. Today, at this place, it of course can be said with absolute certainty, if Mary would not have received the word of promise in her, if then the Holy Spirit would have come over her, then no seed would have been there to bring it forth unto life. What good are all the anointings of the Spirit? What good is all the jumping and hopping, all the clapping of hands? I want to experience it, that we one day will jump as the young calves, that we jump, clapping our hands, but not for the wind, but because that God's word was laid into our hearts as the divine promise, and the Holy Spirit brought forth this divine seed unto a new life. Then I want to jump, hopping, but only hallelujah and to and fro, and then rejecting the prophet and the word of promise. This will help no one, at least not what concerns eternity. Here we can fool ourselves and others. We believe with all our hearts that God is the God of His Word, and how it was necessary to hear that what all the prophets at all times have said. So it is necessary in these days to hear the direct speaking of God. Didn't we read it today from the Gospel of John, that the Lord came for this cause into this world, to bear witness unto the truth, and all who are of the truth hear His voice? And then many can say, or many can ask with Pilate, what is truth? The Catholics, the Protestants, all denominations in this time of the second crucifixion of the Word of God are challenged not just to judge and to say there everything goes upside down, there is treason, there is denial, there's this and that. They are urged to ask themselves the question, what is truth? That's what's all about. Not about the things around, but as Pilate then, he could just say, what is truth? He had to disregard everything else, and he was dealing here only with Jesus. All the others who accused already said what they had to say. Now the Lord Jesus stood before Pilate, and then came the question, what is truth? And we arrived now at this point of time. What is truth? Not the heritages, not the traditions, but God's holy revealed word is the liberating truth for you and for me. That what people call truth binds very often to others and enslaves them again. Many promised to many the great liberty, and then in a new system they made them old slaves again. This may not be. Our Lord has come and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Liberty, divine spiritual liberty. This doesn't mean that everybody can do what he likes. This means that everybody must do what God commands us. This is divine and spiritual liberty, to remain in the limits of the Word of God. Therein we have liberty. If we go beyond the limits of the Word of God, then we go out of the kingdom of God. Beloved, God in these days does not only want to speak with us, He wants to do something which remains, which never existed before, something sorrowful, something deep He wants to do in your and in my life, in your and in my soul. These days must become days with God, days of an encounter with Him, the Risen One. And here it is necessary that we leave all other things aside and really seeing no one else and hear no one else but Jesus alone. Then we are helped. And I believe that God is ready, yes, even more than we want to have His help. He wants to help us even more. We actually don't even know what kind of help we need, but God knows it. And whomever He helps, He is helped. Whom He blesses, He is blessed. Whom He saves, He is saved. Whom He heals, He is healed. Everything what God does is perfect. We must get used to it, that we are not dealing with men, but with God. Of course, God has spoken through human lips. He used hands of men to lay them on others. But the speaking one, the acting one, was always the living God. And this we expect in these days here, that everyone receives the Word of God in him, being aware of that God watches over His Word to fulfill it in your and in my life. These days may not just end with the proclamation. They must end with an experience with God, with every one of us. There's no other way. And in perfect faith and confidence, we can come before the mercy seat of our God, for our Lord and Savior, He of course entered with His holy blood into the most holy place. He is the Lamb of God, which lets Himself be sacrificed. He, the High Priest, who intercedes for us. If He could speak to us today with an audible voice, He would say, "My people, do not despair. I prepared the way before you. It is free. The connection from heaven to earth is again established. What God lost through the first Adam, this I have brought back again. You are reconciled with God." Oh, if He could just speak to us in such a way that we could hear it, what would we then do? You say, "Huh, if I would hear the voice of the Lord in such a way, then I would jump, and then I believe it." Then you can already jump now. Then you can believe now. Then nobody needs to wait. No one needs to think here that God somehow comes down on a cherubim to then speak with us here. I tell you, God speaks also tonight through His Word with us. And we believe His Word with all our hearts. And there was never a time in which God so mightily and so clear spoke with His people as in these days. We can look back. There was never a time period in which such clarity about the Word of God and the plan of salvation ever was as in these days. So, we understand that that the Lord speaks with us. Yes, it's human lips. And I ask you today, you most surely have heard that the one or the other says, or maybe I said it, that the Lord has spoken to me. And what do you think, in which language he would speak here? What do you think? Would he speak with us in another language? To Saul, on the way to Damascus, he spoke in his own language. In the Hebrew language. Today, God speaks with us through his holy and precious word. And I just have one scripture on which I want to remind us with emphasis. Paul writes, "You did not receive the word which came forth by me and by Silvanus, not as the words of men, but you received it as the word of God. This is the mystery. Whoever wants that the power of God is manifested in you, then first receive the word of God as the word of God, that it can become the power of God." As long as we think, "Oh, the brother has spoken, beloved, I would be sorry if I would know that people think like this, then I would not come here at all." But I'm convinced that you have not come here to hear me. I am convinced that you have come to hear the word of God and to have an experience with God. And I can tell you now already, no one will be ashamed who trusts the Lord. But please don't sleep and don't dream. Let us watch and pray, and let us redeem these hours and days which God gives us, for it is a precious time. God, in these days, he wants to show us that he made a covenant with us, that we are his covenant people, that he shed the blood of the covenant. And this is the book of the covenant, the New Testament in his blood for the New Testament church. And the Almighty God, who already in the Old Testament fulfilled everything, although the blood of an animal was shed, how much more he in the New Testament will fulfill everything after he confirmed this covenant as a valid testament through his death, through his shedding of his blood for the church. All promises of God are yes and amen. Let us today receive God's word as the word of God into us. And we will experience the power of God, which is in his word. His word cannot return void unless it accomplishes for what it was sent for. Sing, O ye heavens, let the earth open, for God pours down blessings. Hallelujah. This God promised. Earth, open up, for the heavens pour down blessings. And then drop down, ye heavens, from above. The heaven is open. Sometimes we pray, "Lord, open heaven." As far as I know, the heaven is open since Calvary. And our Lord said, in the Gospel of John to Nathanael, "Ye shall see greater things than these. From now on, ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending. ye shall see heaven open. We are since Calvary under an open heaven. And a gracious and merciful God sees all of us through the blood of the Lamb. And he calls out to us today, children, don't worry. The price is paid. The guilt is settled. You are redeemed. You are mine inheritance. This afternoon we read, mourn not, nor weep. Our Lord went through all the mourning, through all the sorrow. He prayed that his sweat dropped like blood to the ground. He was a man of sorrow. He walked this way to Calvary so that you and I are set free and can be children of God through the faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. And for this, we want to thank him today with all our hearts. If somebody would have taken you out from a pit in the ground, from a pit where your natural life would have faced death, what would you think, say, and do? How much gratefulness would come forth from your heart? If somebody would have just taken you out from a pit from which you would have not come out by yourself, you would be grateful. You would speak of it. It would mean the salvation of your life forever. I say unto you this evening, God, you and me, all of us, he has taken us out from the horrible pit of corruption by his grace and mercy. All of us, we were handed over to death, and he has taken us out. What shall we do today? Praising and thanking and giving glory to his name. No more begging. If you would be in the pit, then I would say, I want to pray and beg with you. But if he has taken you out, then don't behave again as you would be again in the pit. Either you are in or you are out. Either you are saved or not saved. One cannot make such a deal with God. If we believe that he has redeemed us, then we are redeemed. Then he has taken us out. And if he has taken us out, then we are no more in. Amen. Praise and thanks be to our God. When will we grasp the redemption properly? The redemption is a work of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not what you and I plan to do, but that what God accomplished in Christ Jesus on the cross of Calvary. May God bless us all and be with all of us. This evening is a praise and worship service, and for this we stand up now to give glory to the Lord. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I think we were all in prayer while the preaching was going on. Let us pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you truly for your precious and holy word. We believe with all our hearts, Lord, that you are present, Lord. Lord, you are here where your word is, and we may be there where your word is. We thank you together. We open our mouths and our hearts to praise your holy name, for your name is above every name. You are so wonderful. We worship you, Lord. From the beginning, you revealed yourself to your own who believed your word. And also in our days, you reveal yourself to those who believe your word. Faithful God, not one shall go out of here not being blessed, not being saved, not being healed. You are the great physician. You are the great hero. Praise be to your name. You are our God. We thank you, Lord, for your mighty speaking through your word. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't believe just some things from your word. We believe all the word, the Old and the New Testament, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, some people just believe the New Testament, but we believe the Old and the New. For you spoke at the beginning and you spoke at the end. Praise be to your name. You are so wonderful, Lord. Kindle your fire. Kindle your divine power among your people. Lord, let us truly rejoice and jubilate to you, for you are our God, Lord, faithful God. If we are of the world, then we rejoice in the world, but you have taken us out. You made us your people, and so we want to praise you, glorifying your name, for you are so wonderful. Hallelujah. You, the King of Kings, you, the Lord of Lords, bless all, O God. You know us all. You know the longing of my brothers and of my sisters. You know why we have come. Now we thank you. You have satisfied our longing already with your word. We're fed, O glory, to your wonderful name. We thank you, Lord, with all our hearts. Glory to your name. Hallelujah.